You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 455, and today we're going to talk college basketball. Of course, Notre Dame's lost to Penn State in the NIT tournament, which Randall was there for that game. And we're going to give our early, way too early season predictions and read a couple of your predictions as well from the forums. And Randall's here as well. Randall, how are you doing today?
Not too bad. I've been racing around all day, but I'm here.
All right. Let's start with some of the quick and easy stuff. Obviously, the NCAA tournament bracket has been totally turned upside down with Virginia losing. They were my team to win the whole thing. And so I started out looking pretty good. I was leading our Irish Sports Talk group, but now I'm at
tied for first at one point.
Yeah. Now I'm in tied for seventh place with a bunch of people.
Well, it changes so much. And seriously, this has been one of the craziest March Madness that I remember, with this many upsets. And thing is, whoever's leading all of ESPN's brackets, I guarantee you they never watched a game of basketball this year.
And I do think it's important to throw this out that our former co-host, Tony, is faring worst, or at least one of the worst. He is second. He's tied for second from last in our group. So he's tied for 43rd, 44th place, and only has 320 potential points remaining, which is not good.
Well, here's something you can do. If your bracket is not doing very well, did not do very well, ESPN actually has like a second chance bracket, so you get to pick from the teams that are in the Sweet 16. So much easier. But I've done it before, and it's not as easy as it seems. So I did start another Irish Sports Talk group, and so if you want to join that, do that. And I decided we'll give away a shirt to the winner as well. And I'm not sure how close it is. We might have to go by the make sure you fill in your score prediction for the tiebreaker, because we might have to go by that. I'm not sure how close. It depends how many people sign up. But definitely do that. If you use the ESPN app, it's like in the More Games icon. Or I tweeted out the link. I put it on Facebook. So join that, and you get another chance. We'll see how good you are on your second chance.
So if you're on the ESPN Tournament Challenge app, at the bottom right corner, More Games, and TC Second Chance, you can click to play that.
I'll tweet it out again as well. But right. Thing is, I like filling out brackets and doing stuff like that, so definitely join in, and we'll see how good we can do with the second chance. But I will say, I picked the Arizona upset, so I feel good about that. And I didn't have Virginia going too far, so I got lucky there. But I think the biggest one that hurt me was the Michigan State and North Carolina were the two that kind of messed things up for me. So, but I still have, I believe I have Villanova winning everything, so we still got that going. But with, yeah, this time of year, it's so much fun. Like, I just like watching the end of the game. Like, I like how they have it timed so you can watch, like, the last 10 minutes of each game. You know, kind of keep on. It's exciting. Justin Brent even made it to the Sweet 16.
Oh, that's, I didn't even think about that.
So.
Do you know, is he still on the team?
Yeah, he's still on the team. So, watch, see what Nevada does. What I noticed the most about college football, I didn't watch that many games during the season.
Football or basketball?
Basketball, sorry. I watched Notre Dame, but as far as other teams, I didn't watch them. Everything is just three-pointers. They're setting records now. Like, of Ohio State's first game, who did they play their game? Whoever it was, they set a record. I think they had 70-some three-point attempts in one game. So they set a record for
as a combined tournament game.
Yeah.
Hold it. That's insane. Like, it's I can't believe it.
One of the other teams set a record for most made three-pointers in a tournament game, and it's just either dunks or three-pointers. So looking at the NIT, I went to the Notre Dame game on Saturday. Tickets were only $10, and so I decided to take my three-year-old up there and And my brother-in-law is actually a Penn State fan. That's who Notre Dame was playing. So we decided to go up there. And it was fun, but it's just Notre Dame. What irritates me, it irritates me because I'm the type of guy that I don't care. Okay, so yeah, if I was in that position on the team, okay, we missed out on the tournament, so we're in the NIT. I'm the type of guy that's like, okay, so let's win this thing. It just seemed like the team didn't even want to be there.
Fans
don't want it either.
I used to be that way, but then I realized this is way worse than second place. This is like...
No, it's still better than nothing. It's like the team can practice. Yeah, you have your main guys are leaving, but you get the young guys.
This is like going to the Senior Bowl after you missed out on just going to a bowl game, period.
Yeah, it helped Durham Smythe.
Well, but that's for the getting to the next level. But if you know you're not getting to the next level, maybe that's not really a perfect...
What I'm saying is it's disappointing. Like,
well, the NIT is disappointing. The NIT is disappointing. Just
the league,
forget the NIT.
There's some good teams. Louisville's in there. Baylor, Penn State beat Ohio State 3 times, which is kind of shocking. But they did beat Notre Dame by 10 points. But what I'm saying is, for me, it's hard to see that. I mentioned last week that the league I played in, we won the championship. It was we had double elimination in the playoffs. We lost at the beginning. And we decided, you know what? We had to take the long route. We had to play more games. But we came back through the double elimination and won the whole thing.
That's still different. It's as if you lost your first game and then you're in the bottom division.
I know. I just don't. I think it's more of a thing like if you actually want to play like you want to be there, or even as a fan, like not caring about it, you're kind of like, you were too good for that.
How full were the stands?
The attendance was 4,023 or something.
So
like that.
Under half.
Yeah, it was bad. The loudest the state. Well, at the end of the game, Notre Dame started to make a little bit of a comeback, but it was way too late. But the fans really got into it then. But the loudest the stadium got up to halftime was at halftime when the refs were walking out booing the refs. That was the loudest that it was up to that point. And I will say, the refs were bad.
They also don't want to be there.
One guy not too far from where I was sitting yelled out to the refs, like, "Are you asking if they're the NIT refs?" I will say there were some people there that were the fans that were very into the game. Let's put it that way.
They probably thought this was a tournament game.
It was. It was an NIT. Win the thing.
No, it's not a tournament game. It's an NIT tournament game.
If you want to say that Notre Dame should have been in the...
No, I don't think they should
have
been.
In the tournament?
They shouldn't have been.
Well, to the people that was in Notre Dame... team and player, I mean, they probably thought they should have been there over Syracuse. Well, then win the NIT, then we can have that conversation. That's my thing. Notre Dame's never done it.
Randall, you had said a few weeks ago that the NIT was thinking about moving back to the 3-point line. Did they do any weird stuff like that?
Yeah, they did. A little bit. The lane is wider, and they play with 4 quarters. 4 10-minute quarters instead of 2 20-minute halves. So I wonder how much... Notre Dame does shoot a lot of threes. I wonder how much that messed up. The thing is, a lot of guys do shoot from behind the 3-point line anymore. I mean, watching Steph Curry,
how much further back
changed.
Do they move it?
I'm not sure. It's maybe 2 feet. It's not much because right now it's just under 20 feet for college, and it's, I forget what they said it is.
You see them.
Yeah, I know.
But that's still a big move.
So, and the lane is wider. That I think that's a big thing too. But it's, yeah. But Notre Dame didn't want to be there. Their first 3 points were all free throws. They never led the game. And Bonzi Colson, you feel bad for him. He kind of hurt his leg and was sitting out. We didn't know why he was out, but then you know they said, "Oh, has a leg injury." He did come back in for the end of the game, but he's just walking around. He was basically just in there to be in there for his last moment as a Notre Dame basketball player. And so anyways, my brother-in-law was quite excited that Penn State actually, because that's one sport that Penn State isn't really that good at is basketball. So anyways.
All right.
There you have it.
Randall, when is the pro day coming up?
It is actually this week, March 22nd. Yeah, Notre Dame players get a chance, the guys that weren't at the combine get a chance to show what they can do, which the 22nd is on Thursday. Malik Zaire is coming back. So, not really a whole lot to say about that. We'll update you on what happens with that, kind of what they do. But that is this week.
And then a few weeks ago, Notre Dame lost a commitment from quarterback Cade.
Did you say a few days or a few weeks?
I meant a few weeks ago. Did I say a few days?
Oh, never mind. Yeah.
Yeah, decommitted.
I'm already thinking.
Yeah, decommitted a few weeks ago, and then he committed to Michigan, unfortunately, a few days ago.
And we're talking about on our forums, and I think that kind of made it worse that it was Michigan over a lot of other teams.
Oh, definitely.
Just because, I mean, I could see the guy from out west, you know, I think Solon mentioned, you know, going to USC or something where they have good quarterbacks, and, you know, or go to Alabama. We saw What's-His-Face do that a couple years, you know, decommit from Notre Dame, go to Alabama just because it's Alabama. But to go to Michigan, yeah, John Harbaugh has, he coached Andrew Luck. He made Colin Kaepernick look like he could play football. And he is actually good. It's not like he's bad at coaching quarterbacks, anything like that. I think with the Michigan situation, I don't know what all that is, but it's not like they had some good quarterbacks there. But he did mention...
in his tweet, he said, "I've been waiting to find this place for a long time. I'm very excited to announce we'll be committing to the University of Michigan. Hashtag go blue."
So if he's been waiting to find his place for a long time, I kind of wonder what the whole situation is there, but... Clearly, he wasn't impressed with Notre Dame. So, anyways, maybe, yeah, I'm sure we'll find out. We'll see a little more of him at Michigan versus him being at another school. I mean, people around Notre Dame fans know more about Michigan than a lot of other schools. But, anyways, I will, since we're talking about rival schools, kind of Notre Dame hockey won the Big Ten championship over Ohio State, and it is their first year in the Big Ten, so anyways, that's good to see them beat. They're getting into the tournament, but Notre Dame just kind of marched into the Big Ten and took over, so it's nice to see.
Is there any more other recruiting news, Randall? Any visits coming up?
There are some visits lined up. I don't have the dates here in front of me, but it's kind of a slow time. I mean, Notre Dame is working on bringing guys in for the spring game and even having them around during the spring practices and stuff. And the spring game is coming up. It's April 20th. And you can buy tickets for that. I think they're at $15. If you get them beforehand, they're like $12. If you get them at the day of the game, they're at $15. And I want to mention it now. If you have a chance to go, plan a trip and go out. We talk about it every year about how we wish more fans would show up. It's just shocking to me that not more people do. But if you think it doesn't really matter for the players necessarily, whatever, think about the recruiting, because some of these recruits go to Ohio State or Alabama and they have their stadiums completely full. And so you can't tell me that going to a spring game at Notre Dame and seeing 10,000 quiet fans in the stands versus going to Alabama where you have screaming, you know, 80,000 people, a stadium filled for a spring game, you can't tell me that kind of makes a little bit of an impact.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say, go out. If you have a chance, go to the Notre Dame spring games. It's $12. Go to the game. It's fun.
And
it's
actually
football.
It is fun. Usually the weather is nice. It's, you know, it's fun to get outside after being cooped up inside for most of the winter.
And if you've always said it doesn't help the football team, do it for the recruits. I wish for 1 year.
Do it for yourself because it is fun.
Exactly.
It's not if you don't go to game, like the one thing I don't like about actual game day is just the amount of people and the traffic and the parking. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
So go to a blue and gold game, you're not gonna suffer from that.
People actually like the tailgating before. There is tailgating before the spring game. So you can do that. And I would just once want to see that stadium almost full on a spring game.
Well, it won't happen
for a spring game
in your lifetime. Maybe in my lifetime.
I always think about it when I hear people fuss about this and that, why recruits don't want to come or why this and that. Well, if you want to make a difference, go out there on the spring game and let's show support for this team and show the recruits that Notre Dame is a good place and they have the best fans in the nation. So there's my spiel. All
right,
and no, I didn't get paid by Notre Dame to say
that. There's a PSA from Randall. We had mentioned, or you had mentioned something in the forums about early predictions for this upcoming season.
Yeah.
So I guess some of it, go ahead.
I'll quick throw this in, some other news before getting that. Some other, Aaron Lynch, former Notre Dame player that transferred, he did sign a one-year deal with the Bears. And I believe he's had like 6 sacks in each of the last 2 seasons. So if you are a Bears fan, it is something you can get excited about. I don't know much about the situation there. I'm not a Bears fan. So, but he did join the Bears. And then Stefferson, we'll just keep updating you on what's happening there. He was sentenced to 180 days in prison, and he's already served, at the time of it last week, it was, 47 days, I believe. And so he could get out earlier at like just over 100, instead of the 150. But that was just for his incident in Fulton County. So he still has charges in Marshall and St. Joe, which who knows what happens. But supposedly the article mentioned that his lawyer, somebody was saying that he'll probably go back to Florida and get some treatment there, drug-related treatment. And so it could be a while before if he ever does make it onto a football field again. But honestly, I hope the guy gets it figured out. Maybe this will wake him up.
He's got talent.
Yeah.
Anyway, was there any other news before we get into the predictions?
Yeah, there's one thing. What was it? Okay, man. Oh, the Bob Diaco news. We were just talking about
that. Oh, yeah.
Bob Diaco did reportedly join the Oklahoma staff as a defensive analyst. And doing some research on that, one of the headlines was an article from SB Nation, the UConn blog, and the title just, Bob Diaco took his antics and lies to Nebraska, which obviously this was like last summer when this was written. But it is kind of an interesting article, just their take on Bob Diaco. And even when he got to Nebraska, it was pretty hyped up, and then they got destroyed the first game of the year, and then he didn't meet with the media afterwards, and then he claimed that he didn't know he was supposed to meet with them and just whatever. So, anyways,
so with Oklahoma,
Connecticut fans are not impressed with Bob Diaco. Let's just put it that way.
Now that he's at Oklahoma, is he the defensive coordinator?
No. He's just a defensive analyst.
Okay. So this is, he'll probably be there for a season or half a season. Who knows? Maybe by this fall he's got to
rebuild his reputation. It wasn't good. Connecticut was kind of a disaster. Reading this article, you have to read the article. The one thing was, kind of remember.
A disaster as a head coach. I still think he's a very solid defensive coordinator.
Oh, like that. But what I'm saying was like play calling. He let the time run out on the 1 yard line against Navy.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get a head coaching job.
Like that.
At least not Division I football. But I would still recommend him and think he'd do well as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, something I had not known. Connecticut's rivalry game, one of their rivalry games, they won the game and they left the trophy on the sideline after the game, and people were not impressed with that. So just different things. But that I just was kind of taken back by the title there. So, anyways, yep. Now on to the.
All right, I'll read some of the predictions from the post or from the forums, and then we'll give our own. But Irish Don, as far as a over and under for Alize Max drops, for the spring game, he would say it's at 67%. He would go with the under. And then he said upcoming season, he would go with the under as well.
Which, what was it at? He said from what we had last year, was it 70?
I guess he didn't specify, but I think he'd go with the under for both of those.
Which, by the way, there are reports that that first practice was open to the media. Alizé did drop some passes, so he hasn't totally figured that out.
He's got the yips. Adam, he said the Irish will crush Michigan. Jerry Tillery will have a monster year. The running game, on a negative note, the running game will have issues all season long. And we'll see Phil Jurkovic playing against Pitt.
That's halfway through the year. That's the seventh game of the year.
And then his final prediction is Kevin Stefferson will steal a 33 trucking hat from the bookstore. Solon, he says, defense will be great. If not in the top 10, very close to it. And that was, those were all the predictions that we had on the forums. And I do want to just give a season prediction, and we're going to tweak and adjust this, of course, because we don't even know all the injuries that are going to come up at different schools.
Don't jinx it.
I didn't say...
Oh, you mean at different schools.
Well, just everywhere, yeah.
Keep talking about those injuries.
Quarterback situations, you just never know. But for this season...
This is just like a random prediction, or you're talking the... Your record prediction.
Record prediction, okay, yeah. Gotcha. The schedule is not difficult.
It shouldn't be. We've said that before.
Last season was more difficult than I think it looked at the beginning.
Well, last year there weren't supposed to be any good quarterbacks. It was like first-year starting quarterbacks and things like that. So
obviously, we don't know Michigan exactly how good they're going to be, but I do think... I think they're going to go through this season with one loss.
So they're going to go
11-1.
Wow.
Now, part of this is because the first half of the season, or first three quarters of the season, I think is very manageable. I mean, Michigan is definitely going to be tough.
But Michigan is a big test.
And if it would be at Michigan, I would pick Michigan to win. But it's at Notre Dame. It's going to be a night game. And Notre Dame's going to be favored in all of these games. You got Stanford there at the end of September, but guess what? Notre Dame has beaten Stanford when it's been at home, and it's been close, but Notre Dame has come away with the win more often than not when it's at home. And so I think I've got to give the nod to Notre Dame there. And then you do have the last three quarters, the last four games or so, you have Navy out in San Diego, but which could be a home game anyway. But then you've got Northwestern at Northwestern, but that's not that far away. It's in Chicago. It's not that far away. And then you've got Florida State at home again. Florida State is probably going to be in shambles. They're going to come in with at least three losses. They play Clemson, they play Miami, and North Carolina State just leading up to the Notre Dame game. And so they're going to be reeling from a handful of losses. They're not going to be the same team. And then you have Syracuse, and then USC. So I do think Notre Dame is probably going to drop the USC game at the end of the year. So I'm not sure exactly which one, but the USC one is the one. And obviously Notre Dame hammered them last season at home. This is at USC. I do think Notre Dame gets through it, but then ends up losing to USC. So they go from East Coast to the West Coast.
Yeah, I'm not quite as... I'm going to say the overall prediction is going to be 10-2. And I agree with you, USC, they're not going to win that game. I'm sorry, there's too many things. The week before, you're in New York at Yankee Stadium playing Syracuse for the Shamrock Series. That's November 17th. 1 week later, 7 days later, they have to fly all the way to the other side of the country, to Los Angeles, play at USC. You got Thanksgiving in there.
Mm-hmm.
And USC, all they're going to think about is the game last year.
49-14.
And they're not going to let it happen again.
No.
And they're going to try their very hardest to make it as ugly as possible. And it is just... how Notre Dame has it set up. I'm not a fan of all these away games and how they switched the Syracuse game to the Shamrock Series. And it's still November. Notre Dame's going to lose to USC. I mean, I'm pretty confident about that. And I do think they're going to lose another one. I'm still not totally sure about... I'd say if they lose another one, I do almost hope it's Michigan, just because I think they could recover from that as far as getting the playoffs. They'll be in talk for the playoffs again. I don't know what that USC team, because it's the end of the year, but I could see them, even if they beat Michigan, I could see them, you know, win their first 6-7 games, but then they're going to drop some random one. One that they should win.
Yeah. They could lose. I mean, they could
Virginia Tech.
They could lose to Northwestern. Northwestern has been very solid the last couple of years. I don't remember. I'm not sure what their exact record was last year, but they've been solid over the last couple of years.
Well, out of the last 5 games, you have one at Notre Dame, which is Florida State. And I like that it's on November 10th at Notre Dame. Florida State, the players do not like the cold weather. We've seen what happened before when Notre Dame played them, like down in Texas. Was the Sun Bowl when it snowed? Or was that Miami? That was Miami. Anyways, Florida team.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like the snow. Hopefully it snows that day. But they're just going to lose another. It could be like a Virginia Tech at Blacksburg, Virginia. Not a good place to play. And Stanford the week before. I could see them dropping like Stanford or Virginia Tech in there. So my prediction is that they go 10-2 again. So it's just, hey, it'll all change. We'll see what happens. But that's the early prediction I got.
Okay.
The thing I don't like about Michigan, they always play better at the beginning of the year. But hopefully not.
Not always.
But they often have a gimme game the week before, their first week. Hopefully, they did play Alabama a couple years ago.
Hopefully they'll treat Notre Dame like a gimme game.
Yeah.
Now, as far as just some other random predictions, I think Chris Finke will continue to be the practice darling, and then...
We're writing this all down.
Are you?
Yeah.
The practice darling, but I don't think he'll make an impact as a wide receiver, even though there are a lot of question marks and there is room for him to make a move as a receiver.
So you're saying he'll be good in practice, but he won't see the...
Well, good in practice. I think he'll be talked about. Brian Kelly will use him as motivation for other receivers, but I don't think he's going to catch more balls than he did, you know, the last couple of years. At least not.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a regular contributor as a receiver. But I do expect if he is the punt returner, I think we'll probably continue to see fair catches when it probably shouldn't be a fair catch, and catching it and running when there are defenders ready to take his legs out or his head.
Yeah.
So there was my kind of random prediction, which I guess it's what we have been seeing, so maybe it's not really fair to call that a prediction.
Who do you think is going to be a star on the team next year? That hasn't been last year. I mean, don't go with Julian Love.
Yeah. Well, some of these guys are emerging, but I think Julian Okwara, which, I mean, he's been emerging, so it's not really, I don't think it's really fair to say he's going to be the guy, because I think clearly he's going to be a guy.
Yeah.
Well, definitely, I mean, where there's going to be opportunity is at running back, at wide receiver, at tight end. Yeah. So at the three different skill positions, well, I guess the quarterback too.
Well, I think, honestly, the defense won't be as much of a surprise because you have all the guys returning. I think there's going to be a surprise. It'll be on the offensive side.
Yeah. I guess on defense, it could be a safety that picks off the ball.
But that's true.
I kind of hate to steal something from you, Randall, so I'll go ahead and let you make yours, and I'll just agree with you on the running backs. But then from the wide receivers, Miles Boykin, he's been in the program now for, this will be his fourth year. There's no surprise waiting to happen there.
You don't think he'll contribute much?
No.
Well, that's a prediction, because some people do think he will.
Okay, well, there you go. No, I don't think he will.
Okay.
So someone's going to emerge out of the wide receiver group. Chase Claypool is a proven commodity. He wasn't consistent last year, but he's a guy that is going to be one of your top three pass catchers.
Yeah.
Well, and then I guess I'll say Alize Mack, even though he hasn't really contributed that much, even though
he catch more than 70% of his passes thrown to him.
I don't think he will.
These, like, are my two predictions.
I want him to, but I don't think he will, because he's had enough opportunities. He could, but I don't think he will.
We'll let you decide on that. Here are my two early bold predictions. I think Dexter Williams finally gets 1,000 yards as a running back. And I also think Alize Mack will catch more than 70% of his passes.
Well, I said no.
So those are my two predictions. We got it written down. We'll see what happens this fall.
But as far as Dexter Williams, I think he's going to be – I do think he's going to be a big part of the running game, because he is so gifted. The opportunity is going to be there, and I think when he sees it, I think he almost has to just buckle down and do the work when it comes to knowing the different
blocking. I think he doesn't have – he finally doesn't have Josh Adams and ProSize in front of him. Like, he doesn't have – somebody kind of like him and Tony Jones had to know Josh Adams was in front, was the guy last year. They don't have that, and they know it's their chance. Sometimes those guys need a little bit of a push, need to see the light, basically. Don't have somebody blocking it for them. They see that they can be the star if they want it. And I think that's kind of with Alize Mack. I mean, I still think it, I don't think it's his mechanics. I think it's just mental for him. And I think that just like, you know, Jerry Tillery stepped up this last year, I think Alize Mack will take that jump because he has to. He knows that this is his last chance, and will kind of make an effort to get that mental thing taken care of, because I think he can catch the ball if he puts his mind to it.
And one thing that Adam mentioned about the running game having issues all season long, I do agree with that. I think they do have explosive players, but I think there's going to be inconsistency from the skilled players, but definitely from the offensive line. It's not going to be the consistent wall that it has been.
Yeah.
And I do disagree. I don't think we'll see Phil Dracovic playing against Pittsburgh, at least not as a starter.
He will not play next year.
Yeah. If well,
I guess that's my prediction too.
You don't think he'll play next year?
Nope.
I could see him play next year, but not taking a significant snap. I mean, it'll be...
No, he will not play. He's going to redshirt.
Randall, we've been through this. Even though Brian Kelly doesn't know it, there's no point in redshirting a quarterback.
I know what you're saying, but there's more point in redshirting a quarterback.
Then watch...
And then he'll leave. He'll still leave earlier than what the eligibility... He won't use all his eligibility.
Yeah.
But the difference is, just like Johnny Manziel, supposedly Heisman as a freshman, he was a redshirt freshman. A lot of the good quarterbacks are redshirt freshmen. Because you get that year just to take in the system, get used to everything, get your classes taken care of. And obviously it's a quarterback battle between Wimbush and Book. And Avery Davis is taking reps and is dynamic. And so Book and Wimbush are going to be the guys out there. And if anything would happen to those two guys... That would be bad enough that you're not going to burn Dracovic's red shirt.
I guess I disagree. I think he is a better quarterback than
Davis.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Even than Book.
But I'm saying in the disaster, if Book and Wimbush would not be able to play, that means it's a serious disaster, and they're not going to bring in Dracovic.
If there's a situation where, I have to believe that the coaching staff wants Dracovic to be competing for the starting job.
Oh, they said that.
No, not this year. Next year.
Oh yeah.
And so if that's the case, there's no way that Ian Book, I don't think Ian Book and Brandon Wimbush will both be at Notre Dame next for the 2019 season. For the 2019 season, I don't think they will be. And so you want Dracovic there to compete for a job, which is why I think that he will.
That could be a bold prediction.
Well, there you go.
anyways.
I think that's all that
I got. It's fun to talk about. Well, spring practice did start today again. And then they're off tomorrow, basically like every other day. So they're Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And they're weekend off, and then Monday, Wednesday. And anyways, there is some media does get access to some of those practices. And, you know, there will be some interviews and press conferences and stuff. So we'll keep you guys updated.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.